It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so another story about me and Trish going to DC.
Okay.
This is not about the march, this is about the trip. So, because we are Americans and have never worked in a bank, we never call the bank with travel notices when we're going on a trip like you're supposed to.
Oh, so they understand when transactions come through from a strange place, yeah.
And consequently, it is not unheard of on one of our trips for a card to get flagged. For some reason, it's usually Trish's. I don't know why that is. I'm a little disconcerted to think about why that is. But for some reason, it's usually hers. And we had that again this trip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this was the thing I knew was an issue. In addition to that, I would like to say, just in my life as a whole, I am, I think, pretty good at spotting phishing scams.
Okay.
I've gotten close a couple times to fall, but never really done it. I mentioned these two things because while we were on the trip and one of her cards got flagged, so we were using mine and all this stuff, I got an email from Apple that was my receipt. Now, I have Apple Music, or as you and I call it, Apple Tunes, and they do charge me for that, and they do give me a receipt. But this one, I thought I had just had it a few days ago, so I was confused. Mm-hmm. And so I open it up, and it's a receipt for like a $180 headset that I did not buy.
Mm.
It's mentioned to me here and all this, and I'm like, holy shit. What? Somebody grabbed my card, too. Because, you know, like whatever happened with Trish, they're already doing it, and they didn't even flag my card. And I'm like, crap, this is going to be such a pain, and we're still out here and all this. And then I see a button that I can hit to cancel payment. And I am incredibly relieved.
Okay.
Fortunately, for some reason, maybe I said, whoa, what's this about? For some reason, my wife was looking over my shoulder, which okay. She does not commonly do.
Okay.
And about the time I saw, with great relief, this button, and literally lifted my finger up to hit it, she was like, whoa, wait. And I was like, what? She's like, I think it's fake.
Mm.
And it, again, to my second point, I'm good at spy. Me at the time was like, well, no, it says it's from Apple. But then I remembered the best way to track if it's phishing. And I looked at the email address, and it was somebody at applebuys.com or some bullshit like that. And I was like, God damn it. Like, these aren't things I do. Like, so that was annoying. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that is saying a goodbye tonight. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And it's been nice knowing all of you.
What episode number
is that? Oh, this is episode 369.
All right. No jokes, please. It's a very serious night because William's leaving. No, one of our members is leaving tonight, but it is, in fact, the laptop on which we have exclusively recorded.
Have we?
I feel like maybe there was a laptop before this one.
I think it's been replaced at least once.
Yeah.
Early, even, because I think when we started, your laptop was a little older, and I think you were a little surprised by how soon we had to switch to something else.
That does sound familiar.
So we have used this probably for most of the time.
Yes. Years, definitely.
Yeah, definitely years.
This is like when Strong Bad would upgrade.
Yeah.
So we're getting a new compy. with all the digital migs and megs. No. this computer, as we've talked about before, got damaged a while back in the corner, and it worked, but just like the hole in the case allowed more entropy in. And so shit's been going wrong. It's been hard to open and all this. And just lately, it's been really hinky. So I was like, you know what? Once we find out if we're getting a tax refund and what it might be,
sure,
I'm going to buy a new laptop because I need very little. Like, I need the podcast and I need to write on it. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
My phone and my tablet do everything else.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that is all. And sure enough, we did the taxes and we're getting some money back. So I went and I bought one and it's actually in there. I got it yesterday. It's purple. And I paid $10 extra to get purple.
Oh, wow.
So, judge away. At me, haters, because I don't even read Twitter anymore, so go ahead.
It's probably more machine for less money than you paid for this one.
Absolutely. No, this is the amazing thing. 100% of the time, I with laptops, and I have had probably 6 or 7, every single time, the new one was cheaper and better spec'd out than the one before.
Yep, that's the way it seems to go.
All the way. The first one I got was $1,500.
Yeah, right.
Gaming laptop.
Yeah, yeah.
Was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Better, all the way down to the one I have in there, which is better than this one, and is $300.
Yep. Amazing.
I was going to say, before, I paid the $10 then to make it purple.
It's amazing.
It's a great one, and it has full-size keyboard. For setting up my little home office thing wasn't working, so I'm like, you know, just get a laptop again. But also, it's, like I said, just for writing and for podcasting, so it won't travel anywhere. It won't be on, like, during the summer for hours on end. So I'm really hoping it will live a long time.
Sure.
And it is still a Windows 10 machine. I pondered a Chromebook, but the podcast is in the way. Because I need a USB port to plug in the mixer, and not all Chromebooks have those.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Some of them still do, but not all. And, you know, the programs I need, Audacity, FileZilla, to run the podcast, Windows programs.
So
They didn't. At least last time I checked, Audacity did not have a Chromebook link in their downloads. Full disclosure, I haven't checked in a while. But that's okay. I'm fine with Windows 10, and it's a very pretty purple machine. But I got it last night. The whole frickin' night was updating. And then I got in a little bit, so I have told Cortana to shut up.
Yeah.
I have, and I have managed to successfully uninstall McAfee everything, which I'm happy about, because fuck that guy. Sorry, and fuck that product also. They're all horrible. And I uninstalled Skype, not because I'm angry at Skype or have an alternative for that, but because Skype automatically logged me in, and I could see how to sign out, but I could not figure out how to tell it to not do that when I turn on. And I was just, I was like, you know what? It's Skype. It's a Windows 10 machine. I don't think I'll have a real hard time if I want to re-download it later.
Right.
So I uninstalled it, and that's it so far. There's going to be a lot more uninstalling. Lenovo has, like, quadrupled the number of programs they have running in the background now for various things. And I need to get rid of all that shit. And then I'll put on the stuff for the podcast, but I should have that ready in a week.
Okay.
Like, no, but so yeah, it'll be purple and awesome.
Okay. And the podcast will just sound better.
It probably will. I can't imagine it sounding worse.
It won't sound worse.
But I'm not positive it'll sound better.
It'll probably sound better.
But who knows, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Processors and digitals and
updated
Migs and Megs and
updated Audacity.
Here, Belindas, take this podcast for your ear face.
Do you think they got, like, really high or drunk to write the script
Excard
for that stuff?
Excard on me? No, I believe I have read facts on it and wikis and things, and I believe they might be total straight edges, but they have explicitly said that they did no drugs or alcohol when they came up with the original thing, which was just the children's book for the 96 Olympics. And yeah, then they just ran from there.
But everything else is just so bizarre.
I mean, it is.
It just comes from such a bizarre place. I don't know.
I feel like I could do it.
Oh, yeah, you probably could, sure. Without being drunk or high, even.
Yeah, it would be more fun that way, but...
Yes, you probably could.
All right. Now, I forgot last week, so I got to do this now. For those of you who have not ever heard the show before, or who have just heard the last episode, you might be wondering what's going on. Here's how things work. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And folks like yourselves, cool people, wonderful, loving, caring people, people with just a few seconds to spare and 14 cents a day, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, questions, topics, things like that. Brevity is the soul of wit. The hat, magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its erstwhile servants, which I think we've established is the wrong word, but whatever, I still think it sounds cool there, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the show, except for the parts that aren't.
Right.
It has just been 1 week this time, so that's good. It's been a shitty week as far as weather's concerned.
It's been pretty cold.
If spring doesn't show up soon, I may have to move out, by which I mean of the planet, I guess.
Well, I mean, you could move for a little further south.
Yeah.
No? Not your thing?
No. There aren't a lot of places down there that I feel I would enjoy.
Oh, really?
Across the board in this country, yeah. Hmm. Like, I mean, they're places that I visit, like to visit, but, nah. I could see going east or west. Although, I don't know. I'm pretty big into Iowa these days. Or at least the right parts of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that sounded evil.
I pretty much like the whole thing.
Yeah, but you also like baseball. So.
I like lots of things.
We were watching the Joel McHale show on Netflix, which is just the soup, but on Netflix.
Yeah, we noticed that too. It was just the soup.
Or no, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was John Oliver. Somebody did a thing about how it's baseball season, so all the local news guys are doing things about the ballpark food.
Oh.
And so they're showing all these different creations they have at different places and hot dogs and everything. And they held this up as being weird, and I was like, that's because it's the most interesting thing about baseball.
Not true. you know, people can hate it. That's fine. I don't. It's okay.
He saves all of his hate for High Lie. He fucking hates High Lie.
What? I don't know what that is.
See? He refuses to even acknowledge its existence. This is the I have no son of professional sports right here.
What?
Son, I have no son. This is like, High Lie? I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, see? See how he is?
Or do I know?
We shouldn't talk. We're just going to upset him.
Okay. Good.
So how was your week, besides absent from High Lie?
Not interesting, as usual. What about yours?
I mean,
it was interesting to me, but not interesting to others, I don't think.
I finished Andromeda. And, finished. I don't just mean completed.
Oh, wow.
I finished. I literally have two quests left in my log, and I looked them both up to see if, something cool happens. Because every once in a while, what seemed like a tiny little quest leads to a whole new area.
Mm, sure, yeah.
But they were not, so I am done. Mm. And the official time was 120 hours and 46 minutes, and the official verdict is it is now my favorite video game ever.
Wow. That's impressive.
Really, really liked it.
Good.
Unfortunately, I feel like it does not have much replayability for me. We'll see. Down the road, it might. But for right now, I'm like, the changes aren't big. I mean, I looked up what the other decisions are, and I'm like, they're not big enough to go through the whole thing.
They're not really, nope.
Well, and mostly, I've just got too many other games lined up, and I'm not playing any of them right now. I'm going to be working on reading and writing instead of playing any video games.
You've got the Telltale games lined up.
Oh, yeah.
After we're done with Sims. So we're looking forward to that. Because we really like the Telltale games a lot.
Did you ever check out What Remains of Edith Finch?
Not yet.
I still wouldn't recommend that one. Yeah. I've been having the urge to play it again, which I'm not sure is very replayable, but I've just been having the urge for that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so actually, I want to talk about a different one. First, I saw a different movie. I saw a movie that I've sort of been waiting around to see for a while. It was on Amazon Prime, and it looked interesting, but I was never in the mood, and then it fell off Amazon Prime, and then recently came back on Amazon Prime. So I watched it. It's called Hellbenders.
Okay.
And it was a really kind of cool premise. A couple of them. A cool premise for the whole thing and a cool premise for the plot, I thought. That played out poorly. Like the movie was not good, but it may have given me the idea for a role-playing campaign.
Okay, good.
It's a horror comedy, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Is horror comedies, unless they're like a satire of a particular genre or whatever, are often just kind of annoying. And this was. It had Clancy Brown in it, which is a great sign.
Sure.
Except he's like Christopher Walken. He'll be in fucking anything.
That's true.
And he did great in this, but not good enough to save it. And it had Dan Fogel in it. And if, for those of you who know who he is, that should tell you a lot about the movie. Mm. For the rest of you, I should say he was in the ping pong action comedy Balls of Fury, playing the lead. You may not have seen that movie. In fact, I'm certain you haven't seen that movie, but I feel like the title
could
give you things.
I have heard of it.
Which is not to say anything bad about him. It's that he's in a very certain type of movie. Anyway, to my point, the premise is kind of cool, though. It's this idea that under secret auspices there is a sect, I guess you would say, a Christian sect of priests called the Hellbound Saints, and it's they're exorcists, and the idea is they constantly keep themselves in a state of such sin that were they to die, they would immediately be damned. They wouldn't even go to purgatory, and the reason being that then if they're doing an exorcism and something goes wrong, they can make the ultimate sacrifice and basically invite the demon into them and immediately kill themselves and like forcibly drag the demon into hell with it.
Mm.
I thought it was kind of a neat idea.
And they have to be sinners in order to do that?
Yes, because they have to be. Well, Trish was even pointing out, like, suicide's a mortal sin.
Yeah, that's right. So
but it's not exclusively a Catholic thing. And on top of that, it has to be enough, because, like I said, There was the aspect of purgatory, and you can still go, and you can't take the demon there. It has to be something that instantly you will be damned to hell.
Gotcha. The purgatory thing, I forgot.
Yeah. And the way they play it, it's kind of cute, but also doesn't work if you think about it too hard. Because one of them is a bookkeeper for it, and he keeps track of who did what, like, recently enough, and he keeps track in terms of the 7 deadly sins and the 10 commandments. And, like, how recently have you done this one and this one? And it's the thing, like, he literally, his idea is, I try and keep everybody in for 4 and 6 of the 7 and 10, and usually that's enough. That'll give him straight. And this thing's come up, like, literally there's a call for an exorcism. It's like, okay, who's ready? And he's like, I'm 5 and 7 right now. Okay, you come with me. And, like, I'm like, that's funny. I'm like, it also doesn't hold up to much scrutiny, but that's fine. And the whole thing didn't really hold up to a lot of scrutiny, but I kind of liked the idea. And I think somebody could have fun with that concept, because they very much are still devout. Like, they're in, like, a parish building, and they live as... they do all sorts of terrible stuff, but also, like, when they go into the chapel, they genuflect and all that kind of thing. Like, they're serious in their faith, and they're literally doing this for God, essentially. They're doing this to be a weapon in exorcism. And I think that's an interesting idea. It mostly just played for laughs.
Right.
There is one female in it. She was an ordained Unitarian that then became part of this. And there is a point that when I've told the story before, Trish thought this was the best part of it, and in fact made me tell her sister this. So a couple of these Hellbound Saints are in their house or whatever, and the guy who keeps the record is giving them crap because they're behind on stuff. One of them happens to be this female one, and he's like, you guys need to, really, you got to step up your sinning. And she walks over to him and says, I'm a woman. Everything I do is a sin. And it shut him up.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good one.
So yeah, that was a nice line in there. But yeah, just an, I mean, and it's a fine movie. If you want a silly horror comedy, that's a little bit in, you know, the teen comedy raunchy kind of thing, it's fine for that. I watched the whole thing. I enjoyed the whole thing. I could watch it again if somebody really wanted to see it. But like, I just think that's a really cool idea that they sort of wasted. It was mostly just an excuse to put Clancy Brown in priest garb and have him yell cocksucker a lot.
I see.
So, not so much. Anyway, I also saw Tomb Raider. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it.
You had seen it before.
Yes, sir.
And so now we've both seen it. Mm-hmm. Now we can talk about it. Mm. You start. What did you think?
We both liked
it. You can't pull the Black Panther line in this, because there are no black people in this movie. Literally zero.
We liked it.
I guess the cameo with Dutch from Killjoys.
We liked it quite a bit, so I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen it again. Mm. I think I do understand why it's been received so lukewarm. I mean, literally lukewarm. Like 50% of the people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
50% of the people don't.
And it's very dead on.
I mean, I think I know.
Although I've since talked to people who their opinions are like right middle of the road.
Exactly.
Like, it is okay.
That's exactly right.
But it's fairly polarizing with others.
So I think I know why that is. It's also something that that I noticed when I was watching it and wasn't positive. That was a negative in my experience of the film, but everything else totally overwhelmed it for me personally. I think some of the choices they made were bad, both from a business standpoint and from an artistic standpoint. Again, didn't ruin the movie for me. I'm sure we'll buy it and watch it over and over and over again, just like we bought Last Jedi and we've been watching that over and over again. But I certainly understand why it's, I mean, I hope it gets a sequel, but I don't know if it will.
It's not promising.
I mean, it's doing well overseas, like a lot of...
But it's disappearing from here real fast.
Yeah. So, you know, they might give it a chance, but I kind of doubt it. And I'd be very sad about that, because one thing that a lot of people seem to be saying in the positive, even if they don't like the movie, is that they liked Vikander's portrayal and liked what she did. So, I mean, a few people don't, but a lot of people do, and it seems like she ought to get another shot at it, but... And it'd be too bad if she doesn't, but... We liked it. We will probably buy it. And right now in our house, the Holy Trinity is Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman, Daisy Ridley's Rey, and Alicia Vikander's Tomb Raider. I mean, those are the... my wife is just crazy about all of those actors and their characters. And those are movies we're going to watch a lot in the future.
I am curious. I never played the rebooted video game.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, I mean, I saw trailers and I saw some gameplay. Visually, it was very much with the movie. Do the plots overlap at all?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. They do.
Is it pretty much the same story? I mean, I kind of know how the video game starts, so I know that's a little different.
Well, they change quite a few things, actually, but I mean, you know, more or less.
Okay.
The film seemed to not... I mean, there's some very specific plot points and, you know, beats and stuff in the game. Not only does the film set some of those aside, obviously for time and things like that, but the film doesn't seem to be concerned about a lot of those things at all. And this is what I was getting at before about decisions that the filmmakers made. To me, all the criticisms I've seen, it all seems to me to come down to tone. They made a certain tonal decision that really diverged from the video game significantly. And one of the reasons that's problematic from a business standpoint is because the rebooted video games already diverged tonally from the original Lara Croft stuff.
Oh, very much.
So, like you said, you're not familiar with the rebooted games. Most people aren't. And So you got to know, when you're the producers of this film, you got to know that a lot of people coming into it, they're not going to be thinking about the original video game. They're going to be thinking about Angelina Jolie in the original Tomb Raider films is what they're going to be thinking of. And already, if you decided you were going to make a Lara Croft movie based on the video game, you're already going to have a movie that is divergent from that.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide you're going to make a decision on the movie that diverges from the video game even still more, that's a dumb decision. You're already asking people to overcome their expectations right off the bat. To say, well, let's make the movie even further away from the original Lara Croft, even further away from the video game, you're just going to break people. They're going to come in with expectations that aren't going to be met, and that's not always bad if you're replacing it with something that's as good or better. But it just diverged too far. They took it a bridge too far, and now someone like me and my wife, we could still enjoy it, but I can totally understand how other people going in would think, I don't get this. How is this Lara Croft? How is this the Tomb Raider that I'm familiar with? And just have a bad experience because of the unmet expectations. I mean, that's what I think happened mostly.
Wow, this is either going to be a fascinating conversation or an absolute train wreck.
Why?
I really didn't like it for reasons that have nothing to do with it being a Lara Croft film.
Sure, and lots of people.
I didn't like it as a movie.
Yeah.
I didn't even, and I'll put it this way, I thought it was boring as hell. I didn't think it was bad enough for me to hate it. I thought every single beat in the plot was the most cliched thing I'd ever seen. For a movie that had a bunch of twists in it, I was not surprised once. And then here's where it's going to get weird for you. I hated the character of Lara Croft in it.
Why?
Because she was completely boring and had nothing. The only interesting thing about her is she was very obstinate in a couple of beliefs when absolute fact told her otherwise, and at least in one of those things made what I think was absolutely the wrong decision and just coincidentally didn't ruin everything. And other than that, they kept talking about how brave and smart she was. I didn't see any of that. She knew that yellow and blue made green. Spoiler alert. I didn't see any of that. I just saw her getting these guys to do things for her. But she, like, her agency, other than sheer bloody-mindedness and, like, no direction and no understanding of what was going on, was her only agency, in my opinion. All this being said, the movie started with a cool character-establishing scene with her and a couple of friends, one of which is played by Dutch from Killjoys, and it was really fun to see her in this, and a little odd to see somebody, I think, of her stature in such a teeny role that had no impact. But it was a really fun scene. And then there's this bit that leads to a bike chase scene that was awesome.
Yeah.
Easily my favorite. Those scenes are in a movie that I'd like to have seen. And she's the only, other than those scenes, and one background character, she's the only woman in the movie. Everybody's like, it's a good female-fronted thing. I'm like, yeah, but there's no other woman around.
Oh, no, it was, I mean, it barely passes the Bechdel test.
I guess technically, again, because of the scene I liked, it does.
Very barely. I mean, Alicia Vikander said that about the film before it came out, that she would have liked. And the thing is, the video game, there's one woman. When she goes to the island, there's a woman with her, and a few other people, too, a few other men. But she's not the only woman in the video game.
Well, and video game is what made me think, because as I'm going through the story, and I'm like, this is so boring and predictable, and da-da-da, I'm like, it's like a video game story, and it's a good video game story. If I was, quote-unquote, living through this, I would say it's a good story. Watching it as a movie, though, it was just very, to me, boring and predictable. And, again, it had things where, like, our protagonists literally did the wrong, irresponsible, risking many lives thing for no good reason, and by sheer coincidence came out on top. couple of times. I'm not just saying Lara either. There are other characters who had that too. There's also, they didn't have a romance, which I was excited about, except we played this weird sexual tension with those two characters before they got to the island, and then later we had scenes that seemed very indicative of them having all, like, it was like there was a love scene cut out or something. That felt very weird to me.
I didn't notice anything like that. Well, I mean, yeah, we didn't have any of those problems.
Yeah,
when we watched it, but you know, again, we're pretty big fans of the reboots. I mean, we probably brought a lot to it. It's kind of like
I'm guessing if I had played the game, I've seen that with other things.
Yeah. Well, it's like when I go to a Harry Potter movie, there's a lot of things I don't understand because I haven't read the book.
And that's, Trish and I have that a lot, and I often find them much more satisfying because I know the gaps in there.
Sure. So, you know, we've played the two games, and we noticed the things that, well, that's like I said, I can totally understand people not getting into it. Although, again, for me, it seemed like it was a tonal thing. For you, obviously, it was something different. But yeah, we pretty much enjoyed it, but knew that it had some problems, and it was gonna. We were kind of scared that it wasn't gonna do very well, and then of course it hasn't. So,
and
I don't know.
Honestly, I liked the first Angelina Jolie one. I don't know if I liked the second one, and I didn't like this movie. But there's a passage of time, both in me and in society since then. So I can say I definitely think this is better than either of the Angelina Jolie movies. But there's a lot more things the Angelina Jolie movies get wrong that, like, you couldn't make a movie like that now, or if you did, people would be protesting that movie.
Well, when I say they made a tonal decision, maybe it does speak to what you're saying in a way. And if I could be more specific without giving away spoilers, maybe we would see that there's. That what I'm saying about the tonal differences kind of applies to what you're saying too. Some of the decisions they made kind of almost put it outside the genre that it's supposed to be in.
Yeah.
And
and I think the video game is like this too. It's essentially an origin story.
Yes.
And the way they've done it this time is not. As they said before, she's not Lara Croft yet.
Right.
And not as poised and educated and you know, self-aware as she becomes in what we know of her in the older video games.
Right.
She's also not nearly sexualized as much. Still sexualized plenty, but not nearly as much.
Well, but also, the video games and the new video games are the same this way. The genre that they're in are kind of a really more of a fantasy genre, right? Like, it's just, you're not supposed to think it's all that realistic. You know, like the stuff that Lara does,
it's more cinematic in that. I mean, because this still technically counts as fantasy,
right? Well, but also the things they're dealing with are sometimes paranormal or supernatural.
Yeah.
You know, like Indiana Jones. I mean, there's some things like in Indiana Jones when in The Last Crusade, you know, you've got those clever things where he's walking through to get to the Grail, and there are these little poetic things about what he's going to face.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
You have to kneel down to pray or whatever, and then you find out that this poetic spiritual sounding thing is actually referring to some mechanism, right? Something that's not supernatural, but the supernatural stuff isn't taken out of the story entirely.
No.
And the overall tone of this film is so there's some cognitive dissonance in it, because on one hand Laura is doing things that are completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
which is supposed to be fun, but it's put in this context of things that are very gritty and very, like, otherwise they're trying to make it very realistic and very grounded. In fact, I saw a lot of people both praise it and criticize it for that. And that is a problem, because this genre is not really grounded. I mean, notwithstanding those cute little things like with Indiana Jones discovering clockwork things in the traps. But that's not even grounded, right?
No.
It's
it did sort of go back and forth with the realism versus fantasy.
Exactly. You can't do that. It's just going to confuse people.
Well, it's an old school action movie thing. Those were supposed to be realistic, and then they weren't at the same
point. I suppose so.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I don't think that it necessarily was a conscious tonal shift. I would say that's just bad writing and possibly bad directing.
Well, what made me think it was a conscious tonal shift was because of things that happened near the end of the film that were very different from the game.
And oh,
were they? Yes, very different from the game and very different from the genre, frankly. And it's like, because I was watching the film and I was thinking, something's not quite right here. I can't quite put my finger on it. But then when we got to the end, I realized, oh, okay, now I understand. Because since the ending was clearly a deliberate choice, in fact, it was something that most people have praised, actually. I don't know if anyone's criticized it. It made me understand that, oh, this was the plan all along. This tone that they've set up that seemed strange and confusing to me, this was a decision they made about how they were going to approach this film, and it was a bad decision because, again, most people are going to come in thinking Angelina Jolie. You're already going to disappoint their expectations with this new movie. You should probably make it as close to the game as possible in all the ways the game was successful to at least satisfy the gamers, to get that core group. But if you're going to make something that departs from the video game too, in a way that takes it even further away from the Angelina Jolie thing and the original video games, you're just asking the audience to do too much. And I think for a lot of people it seemed, some people complained about the color palette being too dark and too dreary and too whatever. But I think that kind of feeds into this, the notion that when you're making something that's supposed to be in the Indiana Jones type genre and you're in a jungle, you highlight the greens, you know, and you highlight the exotic aspects of it. You don't make it a more realistic experience of a jungle, which made it feel hot and oppressive and not really exciting or interesting at all. You go into the tomb, and it's very interesting in how one of the things I noticed while I was watching the film was this looks pretty authentic, like they actually did research on tombs or something. And it didn't occur to me that, no, that's not what people want to see when they go to see a movie like this. They want to see, in the video game, you know, big thing, you know, it's like the ancients did all this work to make it so elaborate. That's what you want to see. You're not looking for realism. You're not looking for something that, you don't want to feel like the jungle is hot and sweaty, even if your protagonist is. You don't want to feel like the tomb is claustrophobic and dark and humid. Even if that's what your characters are portraying, it's supposed to be exciting. And I think they deliberately picked a sort of a dour kind of tone. And I think it to go with the way it ended. And again, we were okay with it, my wife and I, in the end. But I think it just asked too much for the audience.
Well, unfortunately, as an audience who didn't play the video game, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about any of this. And I'm pretty sure you can't tell me without major spoilers.
I can tell you before I leave, and then you'll understand that.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't... Well, and keep in mind, so whatever you're talking about also won't occur to anybody who didn't play the video
game. That's exactly right.
The rest of us should be fine with it.
Well, let me give you another example that to help you understand where I'm coming from as far as what I think went wrong. If you showed someone the rebooted Lara Croft games, but didn't tell them it was Lara Croft, didn't tell them it was Tomb Raider, let them see what was happening,
yeah,
nobody would think it was a Lara Croft game. You wouldn't be able to tell by looking at
it. I would be inclined to agree with that.
You might, if you were in the know, you might think, is this some kind of Uncharted spinoff? And they have
that would be a good guess. Yeah.
They have made an Uncharted spinoff with female protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't think it's a Lara Croft game. Now, once someone told you that and showed you what was going on in it,
which is what happened to me, yeah,
you'd probably think, well, I see how this is very different from what I think Lara Croft is, but I can see how it might also be better. Maybe I'll play it and see, kind of thing.
Okay, I'm with you so far, because that was me.
Yeah. So, if you make a film, if you haven't been introduced to the game at all, I mean, you were, but if you hadn't been, and you make a film that's, even if it's really well based on the game, what you're going to get from audiences who aren't aware of the stuff that we just said is, okay, this is very different than what I'm used to, but maybe they might kind of like it or like it better. Maybe there's something in it that's going to appeal to them. But you'd have to make it pretty much exactly like the video game. You can't
move away. You lost me in those couple of sentences.
Okay, so, all right, so you're with me up to the point where, well, I see this might be better, so I'll give this game a chance.
Which, again, because that is my experience.
Okay, so then
I literally had that happen.
If they'd made the film more like the game, and I guess,
to me, they made it very like the game.
Okay, well, you just have to trust me. It diverged from its significance.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is people that didn't play it don't care.
But
there's a lot of them.
All right, but what I'm saying is if they'd made it more similar to the game, there might have been things in the film that would have hooked them anyway, in spite of how different it is from the Angelina Jolie stuff.
Okay. I mean, I think people did. There are definitely people who did not play the video game who liked the movie.
Yeah, well, but I'm wondering if you might have if those things would have been in it. I don't
know. I don't know. I wonder what it would have been if we'd done it in the Art Deco style. I mean, you're just saying, I wonder if this thing that you didn't experience, if it had been this
you
thing you experienced,
I'm not being
if it would
specific
change.
Because
I
we're
know, I'm, but I'm saying broadcast. Either I feel like you have to get more specific or you're talking to yourself.
No, I'm hoping that you will ask me later about it, so I'll remember to bring things up.
No, I honestly think I'm going to care less than the listeners.
Oh, okay.
Because, again, none of that changes the fact I just thought it was a poor, done movie.
All right, but I just thought you might be interested in that conversation.
I'm sure you'll tell me, and it'll probably be interesting.
I don't have to tell you if it's not interesting. I just thought it might be.
Oh, please. If we started that...
What?
If you only told me the interesting things...
Then I wouldn't talk to you at all.
This is what I'm saying.
Which...
That does happen. Our relationship is very similar to me and my wife, but I've switched parts. In my marriage, I'm the William.
But you know that was how we thought of felt about.
Well, I'm definitely glad you liked it because I think it's a better thing for you guys to have liked it. I in no way mean to speak against the actress when I say that I found the Lara Croft character boring. I think she did an impeccable job with what she was given.
Yep.
I haven't seen her in other stuff. I looked her up, and she's been in things.
Oh, yeah, she was in...
But nothing that I've happened to see, I don't think.
We've seen her in a few things. God, what's that? That one she's really famous for, I think she even got... did she win an Oscar for it? I'm not going to remember. We saw that, though, whatever it was. And a few other things. So, yeah, we've liked her in other stuff before. So when we found out she was going to be Lara Croft, we were pretty excited about it.
Yeah, she looked, that was the thing, when I originally saw the trailer, I'm like, holy shit, this looks like the video game, like the new one.
Yep, it was very good likeness.
I am glad you enjoyed it. I'm sorry that you won't get a sequel. If I could, I would trade you one of other movies that are getting sequels that nobody cares about.
Pacific Rim.
Nobody that I care about.
Pacific Rim eventually got a sequel, and it also
The original. Although they did have to fight for that, and I've heard it's not as good.
Well, it the original Pacific Rim performed in a very similar fashion. So.
Yeah. China fucking loved it. Well, and Warcraft is getting a sequel at some point.
Well, there you
because
go.
It made all of the money in China. Like it broke records in China. Over here,
so you never know. It might. I mean, someone might say, well, let's give it another shot. Because another thing a lot of critics said was that some of the people who didn't like it thought, you know, if they had skipped the whole origin story thing and just gone for whatever the setup for the second film is, maybe that would have been a better thing to do. So they might think, well, let's do it. Let's see what happens.
I would be into that.
I mean, we'll definitely see it.
The plot driver in this one is I miss Dad. So if we could have a movie where that wasn't, I would be into that.
Yeah, that's a big problem. That is part
that's
such
of a classic problem these days.
Yes, and it is part of the rebooted video games. But of course, there's so much else going on. It's not the only thing.
It's fine, but yeah, Trish, you want to weigh in on Tomb Raider?
No.
Oh, I feel like you'd be a good middle ground.
Middle ground.
Yeah, I think she like. Everybody in my group was talking more positively about it when they left than I was. So,
well, I mean, we were
not
fully,
that's hard to do. These
fully
days.
Expecting a lot of criticism of it, but we liked it.
I feel like I saw a different movie, but I didn't. This Saturday we're going to see Ready Player One, which I'm still terrified about. I feel they're going to have Watchmened it. They're going to have Watchmened it. I just know. And I'm going to be so sad.
Well, I won't be able to tell the difference if they do, so we'll see.
Yeah. Are you guys going to see it?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if we will or not. I mean, it's unusual in that it's a film we're talking about possibly going seeing, and I'm not even sure why, because we haven't read the book.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just the buzz around it. Just about everybody we know have read it and like it, so, you know, you get that buzz going, and you just think, well, maybe we should go watch it.
Trying to put myself in the position of somebody who hadn't read the book, I feel like my reaction to the trailers would be very similar to my reaction to the trailers for Valerian.
Which is what?
That CGI heavy thing that was like late last year.
No, I know what it is. We saw it.
Yeah. Well, apparently. Oh, did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just really intrigued. I was like, oh, this looks really different and original and like a spectacle.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I did was like, I don't know anything about this. Let's at least wait a few weeks and see how it does. And it tanked pretty bad.
Yeah, it did.
I still want to see it though. It's on Amazon now. I think I'll watch it one of these nights.
I think it's worth looking at.
Again, for that thing, like just the sheer spectacle can be really fun.
It was. I thought it was different, which is funny because it's an old property. It's like
it's an old graphic novel.
I mean, but before Star Wars and all that stuff, yeah. It kind of inspired that stuff. So it's kind of funny that they could make a film that seems to do things that you haven't seen before. And we thought it was interesting.
Well, and
it
I'll
wasn't
tell you,
great, but it was interesting.
And this is my prejudice here, but if it just had more white people, no, that's not it. Sorry. No, my prejudice. If the leads weren't, or at least weren't really made to appear as teenagers, yeah. I would have jumped on it no matter what the critics said. But I saw that and I'm like, God damn it. It's Harry Potter in space, but like I'm so tired of these young white outcasts who feel very different but learn that they're special and do shit. And I understand that's not what this story even is, but I'm just so triggered now to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to see it despite that, but if that had not been the situation, I would have seen it immediately no matter what anybody else said. Kind of like Pacific Rim. I knew I was going to see that movie.
Yeah.
I knew, I didn't think it would necessarily be good, but I knew I was going to see it, and I loved it, and I never want to watch it again, and I'm not watching the sequel, because it was an itch that only had to be scratched once.
We'll probably see the sequel, like, when it's streaming or something.
I like John Boyega a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, we'll see. Like, I'm not putting it on a permanent moratorium or anything, but there's nothing tugging at me to see it. Alright. We should probably hat something.
Okay.
Otherwise, there will be no hatting.
You can't
and the
have
people
that.
Will be sad.
Yes, we don't want the people to be sad.
Tell me when will you be mine? Tell me quando. Is?
Craig has a request.
Oh, dear.
Do we say requests? I mean, questions, comments, things
we
like
don't
that.
Don't say requests.
Do we say requests?
We don't think our listeners will be that needy.
Well, he makes requests.
Ah! What's his request?
Please tell us a knock-knock joke.
I feel like somebody's already done this before.
Made a request like this?
I feel like we told a knock-knock joke based on something we drew out of the hat once.
We did?
Oh, I think that was when Blood Sparrow said, "Who's that knocking at the door?"
Oh.
And then we became... I consider that a knock-knock joke. And apparently she was just making a joke about Craig Ferguson's show where he says that. Who's that at the door? Please tell us a knock-knock joke. Okay, I got a good one.
You got one?
Ready? Yes. All right, you start.
Come on.
I love that one. I'm all over the interrupting cow one. And then I know a couple of weak-ass ones, and that's it.
I don't think I know any.
What?
Mm-mm. I mean, you know... When
I feel like Melcher Dallas, like, would just hand out sheafs of them at every community function.
I mean, of course, there were knock-knock jokes going around when I was a kid, but I don't remember any of them. I mean, that's That's how long ago knock knock jokes were a thing.
All right, knock knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting
moo.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that one.
That one is a more recent one, but not like you weren't a kid when it came around, I think, but cool. It's still pretty old. Yeah, and then there's the one when you say you start. There's the banana one. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do the banana one. The banana one was clearly invented by a 2-year-old. The banana one sucks. I'm not doing the banana one. Anyway. Be quiet, pizza ghost.
I'm not a pizza ghost. Why do you only call me when you do racist jokes?
It's a thing from the Joel McHale show. He has a... For a thing, he had a pizza ghost. I forget why. It was something with, like, weird picture on the box or whatever of some pizza. But so they made this character a pizza ghost, and he's the traditional Italian stereotype a la the chef on Simpsons. Mm. And he's carrying a box of pizza, and he's wearing chains, all of them, a la Jacob Marley, sure, and he's got, like, white... makeup on his face, and I forget what all the jokes were that time, but anyway, the other night they had something which involved the Maury show and a woman on there whose first name was Lasagna.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yes. And wasn't like a stage name or anything, like that was her name. They brought out Pizza Ghost for him, and they were asking him what he thought, and he was like, why are you bring me here for this? And they're like, because, you know, it's like, oh, it's because it's Italian, so you just anything that's... So, no, is this something about, yeah, don't bring me out for your racist jokes. So, yeah, Pizza Ghost was unhappy. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Zombies.
Zombies who?
Zombies make honey, but zombies just fly around. Just a play on words. Zombies, some bees.
I see.
Yeah. I suppose nowadays that I have a better understanding of how beehives work, I could polish that up a little bit. Zombies make honey. Zombies are just around for mating with the queen bee. And zombies have to take care of her. Zombies are feeding the lair. Damn it, Trish!
Okay, that's a knock-knock joke. Draw something else.
If a what headbutts you? If a bee headbutts you? Yeah, I'm fine with that.
How does the bee know what part of you is your head?
His head.
Oh.
Yeah, his head. Wherever
her
it is.
Head is the case may be.
To be fair, if it was the opposite, they'd be stinging you. Oh. Yeah, we can't be saying Africanized anymore. I'm saying Ajit Pai weirdly at the FCC sent us a letter during this episode telling us to knock it off. And as much as I hate that guy, he's no, baby. I did not tell Ajit Pai that he could suck your cock. I will next time I see him. I will, because fuck that guy. Fucking hate that guy.
Headbutt him first, then say that.
Yes.
He should be warned.
Because I've been Africanized.
He should be warned.
Alright, this one's anonymous. Why isn't I just want some bloody coffee, end quote, an option amongst the bewildering array of things I can get at Starbucks?
Something called that? Oh, just coffee. Oh, I see.
Yes.
Can't you just get plain coffee?
57-year-old man from 2004 called and wants that complaint back.
No, but...
And yes, I'm aware that 1993 called and wants this joke back. But,
okay, but...
My point is that is an old fucking bit.
But you can just get...
You absolutely can. You absolutely can. But, so many air quotes here. Old people are confused by all these weird, complicated, and foreign names like macchiato and latte and cafe au lait, and they just want some normal coffee, and they can't figure out how to order it from the newfangled drinks list. And they complain that, like fluoridation of water, and I think how you buy fruit now, things are just so confusing in this present day. Basically, this is Andy Rooney sent us this, is what I'm saying. Andy Rooney sent us this question.
I was going to say he's a pizza ghost, but it wouldn't be pizza. It would be something else.
Fruit. Yeah. You can just add. I mean, I do think... Also, as I said, it's anonymous. But it does say, I just want some bloody coffee. So the odds are real good it's one of two listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just go up to the person and say, I would like a coffee black, please.
Black coffee, yeah.
I'm sure it will cost more than you think it should cost now, at a Starbucks. But
and there are places, although I believe
they're not in this country
for the most part. But in other places, like in certain European countries, I believe this is not a thing you can do and just say, just some coffee. And there you end up getting Cafe Americano, which is espresso that's been watered down. Mm. So it's just basically coffee.
Mm.
That's what they give to children, my wife says. But in the U.S., yeah, I'm pretty sure you can say, can I just have some black coffee?
But it's not going to be a quarter or something. I mean, you're going to
pay... No. It's going to be $1,000.
It's going to be, I mean, a
significant... And they're going to ask if you want an extra pump and whip and half calf and all sorts of crap. But you can just say, no. Coffee. And honestly, because this is such an old bit, I think even if it ever was true, it's not true now. Because these people have had at least once or twice somebody be like, can I just have normal coffee?
Well, I mean...
Hell, it's been a bit in multiple movies. You know it's played out.
Sure. But I mean, I'm also going to go out on a limb here and say that if you got a black coffee at, say, Starbucks, and, like I say, I think you're going to pay more for it than you would at, say, McDonald's or Quick Trip. That it's not going to be better than either of those
places. No. Apparently McDonald's coffee drinks are pretty good. No. But that's an entirely separate issue, and we all already know that. People who go to Starbucks regularly are essentially cigarette smokers. They're like, I know I shouldn't, and it's so expensive, and but they do it anyway. They all know. It's not like there's any cigarette smoker who's like, what? Cancer? Huh? Same thing. There's no Starbucks person who's like, what? Cheaper coffee? Just as good? Like, nobody's confused about that at this point. And I mock them every time I go there in the morning if we have to go to, like, Hy-Vee, because there's one in the Hy-Vee, and there's always a line in the morning, and I love that. I just point at the rest of the place, and I'm like, there's an entire fucking supermarket, you guys. No lines. Very few of them even smile at that, because they haven't had their morning Starbucks yet.
I guess.
But yes, it's old, it's played out. I do like, one of my favorites is in the movie Role Models, which is a dumbass movie, but it's pretty funny. I still like it. And it's Paul Rudd and his significant other, Elizabeth Banks, and he goes on this tirade at a Starbucks, or possibly a fake Starbucks analog, because he asks for a large, and they say, you mean a venti? And he says, no, a large. He's like, yeah, that's what we call it. We call it a... And he gets really mad about it. And he's like, all your things are large. Like, your small is a tall, which is a kind of large. Your medium is grande, which is Spanish for large. Venti means 20 in Italian. It's the only one of your drinks that's not called large, and it's the large. And he goes, and whatever. Time goes on, and then he's having a fight with Elizabeth Banks in the rest of the scene. And at the end, her little kiss-off is just like, oh, and venti means 20 because the drink is 20 ounces. And he's like, oh, I guess that kind of makes sense. And this is how I feel about people who bitch about Starbucks now. Because I don't bitch about Starbucks for the most part, and do you know why? Because I don't fucking go to Starbucks. Hmm. If it's a bewildering array of things, then don't go to that. I've heard Dunkin' Donuts has really good coffee. Apparently McDonald's is really kicking it now. I personally have had Burger King's recently. It's not bad.
My wife
make it at home.
Buys her own beans, grinds them herself, brews it herself. So all of that stuff is irrelevant.
She got one of those cats to eat them and poop them out so that it's extra good.
I think she did try that coffee and didn't see what the fuss was about.
It's because she didn't order it right. You need a pump of caramel. Whipped cream on the top.
Okay.
3 ice cubes. A penguin has to watch you drink it for some reason. All right, we are done, people. So everybody, okay, we're going to pause for a second while you all say goodbye to this compy, the lappy here. All right, everybody, go. Like, my life is made if I find out that one person did that somewhere.
That's nice. Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be awesome. But you can't just back up and do it now. That's cheating.
Too late.
But if you did do it and you've made my life, tell us about it on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, or tell us about anything else. Seriously, at this point, nobody has written stuff that I've ever felt the need to, like, get rid of or anything. I mean, unless you were an obvious spam bot. Azure Talon's the only obvious spam bot that got through. Anyway, other than that, we'll talk to you guys next week, and I will tell you all about Ready Player One. Spoiler alert, the 80s.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.